picture of the four. But I was very much relieved because I'd heard that Marlborough was going to come to me to discuss, I don't know what.
You'd heard that? I see.
Oh, this is a long time ago when he first went on, and he'd heard that, I don't know who told him. Oh, Tom Altizer told him. Because Tom, of course.
You keep in touch with Tom?
Not very much, but I see him occasionally, and I haven't seen him. I was invited to his wedding, and Ray Hart keeps in touch with him. And I.
How is Ray? He was
Ray
awful.
Is just fine.
Excellent.
Oh, listen, it's incredible. I think Ray was in that terrible automobile accident, you know, and he broke 114 bones in his body.
My goodness.
And anybody else would have just given up. Just given up the ghost and died. Over?
No, we're still going. Still going.
But Ray, just with that tremendous determination of his, the therapy he went through year after year was just incredible. And he was pretty well and getting along without a cane even, but he was still going for therapy. And evidently, something too strong was done, and his two or three of his bones, serious big bones, were broken again.
Goodness.
While he was doing the therapy exercise. Mm. So then he had to go through that whole performance of having them knit together again or pinned together or whatever they do. But I see him occasionally because he just is going great guns. And he was head of the Academy of Religion for a while and active on at many of these seminars. And they're evidently proud at the University of Montana that he does have all these outside entries, because of course that reflects on them.
What kind of a proposal do you think Stony Brook should put together? Not necessarily for the Luce Foundation. Where would we go?
Well, I don't know what the status is. I suppose it's just as bad as ever in Albany. I was hoping when this new governor came in, who was an intellectual, Jesuit, I was hoping that he would give much more support to the university than the former one, than Carey, because Carey was no intellectual, whereas our present governor is.
Cuomo.
You say he is an
intellectual?
Well, maybe that's too strong a term.
He's smart.
He's had a good education, and he's interested in ideas. And I think he was interested in traditional wisdom, traditional literature, and so forth. Because after all, he went to that good Jesuit school. It's a tough school, St. John's, you know, it's a good place. And so I had high hopes that at last we're getting somebody back in the governor's chair that is going to give us some mind. But I gather he's not been particularly helpful or particularly interested, which surprises me.
Well, I think he's probably less interested in public education.
Yeah. Perhaps because he did go to St. John's, who knows? But anyway, I hope that the next governor, I don't think you could do it without some real support from the governor's office and to get some real support in the legislature and shame them into it, that they're always talking about making New York State University a great university. Whereas all the great, important public universities in this city have a very important Department of Religion. And you can't have a proper university unless you have... I mean, I think make it just as simple and bald as that.
Yeah,
if you want the State University to be among the great, you've got to get over this nonsense of not having a very strong Department of Religion. I think it has to start there, and then I think you have to get a lot of enthusiasm on the campus, or a lot of support. And maybe it shouldn't be Stony Brook, I don't know. Maybe it should be Buffalo, where they have had a long, where the church has been, in traditional ways, it's been a strong church community.
Well, more
someday.
Questions. More questions.
Someday it's going to happen.
All right. More questions. What was Stony Brook's place to be within the New York State system? How comprehensive? What divisions of labor? What specific emphases? And what was SUNY's relation to the regions? And has that... You want to say something about relations to the regions?
Well, it was always... I don't have much on that. You don't?
No.
Well, it was always very edgy throughout my career. It was a very edgy relationship, although I had very friendly personal relationships with the head of the regents and with other regents. But the regents couldn't stand it. They really resented it from the very beginning that the State University wasn't under their administration. Because this confusion, well, for instance, in California, the State University is the responsibility of the regents. And it just happened, and I think it happened for political reasons, that the State University here was clearly put under the power of its own board of trustees and out from under the thumb of the regents. And it was a deliberate action, and for a lot of good reasons. But the regents never accepted that, and they always thought that, well, instead of recognizing the fact that they were really had overall responsibility for education in New York State from the cradle to the grave, unlike other states, the State University was deliberately taken out from under their responsibility. And yet they always treated us as if they had more power over us than they did over Columbia University. Wouldn't have taken the interference that our regents did. Our regents were always fussing and fuming and over everything, from we wanted to start a new course on some little campus somewhere. They would fight it. They just felt that they had been cheated out of the prime responsibility, so they were going to make our lives just as tough as they could. Now, I don't know, maybe it's not happening, maybe that's not true any longer now that we've caught our second breath and we know what our responsibility is. Maybe we don't behave as edgily as we did in my day, but there was no question. It was a running battle all the time.
Well, it certainly took out the operating functions of the Associate Commissioner for Higher Education and placed them under a new board of trustees with its own executive officer. Now that, I think, followed. And it was accepted by Dewey. And Dewey was a...
And it was a very political thing from the beginning.
You think it was?
So I've heard. I wasn't around at the time.
Dewey was a graduate of the University of Michigan, public university.
That's what I could never understand. So it'd be interesting to read the history if anyone would be honest about it. I'll bet you very few people have been as honest with you as I have about the relationships with the region.
Well, I think Larry Murray came up.
Oh, yes, he would, because he was the one who took it on the... he was always in a fight with him about something. I think it's a good plan, though. I think it makes the State University, I mean the trustees, makes them more responsible. And I don't know that any other state has the complicated structure that we do. You see, University of California, the three groups of higher education institutions are all under three separate administrations. I think we're the only state that has the whole gamut from the university level through to the community colleges all under one hat.
Well, I think we used to have a person for the four-year institutions and a person for the university centers and one for the two-year colleges, but I think that's been changed, hasn't it?
Oh yes, it's all under one.
Under one individual?
Well, wait a minute. We had somebody whose main responsibility, but he was under, well, of course, they were all under the chancellor.
They were all under the chancellor.
But I think he was called a vice chancellor in charge of the community colleges. And I don't think that the university centers and the four-year colleges were ever divided.
I think at one time they were.
Prior to
Deering's.
Really? Let's go in the other room, shall we?
All right.
Would you like a little more coffee?
Did you know Mrs. Melville?
I only met her at a reception one day. I didn't know her at all, but I understood she was quite a character.
She's a very... She has a mind of her own.
Mm-hmm.
She's very good-hearted. And, successfully, I think, played second fiddle to her husband, but then definitely was a woman in her own right,
mm-hmm.
you know, subsequently. And she has her own charities. And,
was there very vast wealth there?
Very what?
Vast wealth.
I don't know how much, but after all, Melville Shue did very, very well, and Ward was chairman of the board. He was president and chairman of the board, and really the person who built it up and took over from his father. He was a graduate of Columbia in the class of 1909.
Really?
Very, very bright, able person.
I bet Columbia got more money out of him than Stony Brook.
I have no idea. She's been...
Has she continued to support the library, or does she still have a connection with Stony Brook?
I think every now and then there's some contact, but you're asking me a question I really can't
mm-hmm.
answer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not in the fundraising
no,
business right. myself, you know.
Listen, I've always been in the fundraising business, unfortunately.
Well, I would like to be in the fundraising business for the humanities. I think I could make a good case for them.
Well, of course, that's what the fundraisers need more than anybody. Somebody who's so sold on an idea
right.
that they are better salesmen far than the professional.
Right.
Or even semi-professional, some like myself. You always want a great enthusiast to go with you, really, just to
right.
sell the case. Speaking of libraries, do you want to talk a little bit about C.T. Shen's library?
Yes. All right. How did that come about?
Well, C.T. Shen was an old friend of mine I'd known on the China Institute board. And when he told me, well, he was even in those days traveling to Tibet and traveling all over the world, identifying where important Buddhist texts were. And then very early on, he developed this system of getting the permissions to send photographers in to photograph these rare old texts, Buddhist texts, on microfilm. And he had this collection. I forget just exactly where it was physically, but he was thinking, well, he was backing a temple right here in the Bronx, Buddhist temple. And I think that may be where he was keeping a lot of the books. And then he decided he was going to build a temple up in New York State.
Dutchess County. Yes.
And was going to move his library there. And I told him that I thought he ought to attach it to a university library because I said the scholars would be going to the university library anyway. And then if his texts were there, they'd be more accessible than way up in the middle of the woods
mm-hmm.
in Dutchess County. And I also said we were trying to develop this Department of Religion down at Stony Brook, so he might want to consider being part of that picture. I think he already had that meditation center down in one of those little towns near
in
you.
Coquat? No, that came after.
Was it after he...
I showed him the Tinker Estate.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right.
At the time, it wasn't for sale.
That's right.
About a year after, the secretary of the estate called John Toll and said that they were thinking of selling it. Would the university be interested? And we immediately got in touch with CT.
That's right. Well, I've always felt a little guilty because, you see, I was determined that we were going to start the Department of Religion at Stony Brook. And I knew that this would be one of the strong props to have one of the great Buddhist libraries there. I think we already had Professor Park.
Not yet. No.
He was hired as part of that.
I think the fact that it was, that the collection was there.
Was there.
Made it of interest to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't quite sure which would be the chicken and which would be the egg, but I knew having a great Buddhist library there would attract the interest of some scholars, and I couldn't believe that we weren't going to develop this Department of Religion. And the reason I went along with having this big study made was that I wanted it of the highest quality.
Absolutely.
I didn't want something thrown together.
Absolutely.
So I was very much in favor of having that study made. I think it was Ernie's idea to have the study made.
Uh-huh.
And I went along with it because I was sure that would be the way to ensure the quality of the place. So all of that was going through our heads when CT was collecting these fabulous texts, and I persuaded him that they should be attached to a great university. And so that's how. And I don't think Stony Brook ever, well, Johnny was feeling so poor in those days, you see. He never had enough money for anything. So instead of welcoming CT, he was awful nice to CT, but he did charge him something like $10,000 a year for the rental.
For the space, yes.
For the space.
Right.
I was shocked
when
I heard that.
We're not doing that anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
He's there for free, isn't it? Well, I was shocked when I first heard that because, well, anyway, I was. But there wasn't anything I could do about it, and CT didn't seem to take offense by it. But I think he did. Who knows?
Well, who knows?
Now CT has built this big temple up in Dutchess County. Have you ever been?
No.
Enormous temple, you know, and it's only to Guanyin. He's going to build a bigger one to Buddha, and he's already ordered the figure of Buddha carved in Hong Kong. And my gosh, it looks like the size of the Buddha of Kamakura. It's just enormous.
Right.
But it's of wood, and it's going to be in this temple, so it can't be as big as the Buddha of Kamakura. But it's awful big. He showed me the model of it.
I see.
And here this temple is in the middle of nowhere. Now there are going to be two temples. And he showed me some acreage next to his own, on his place. And he said, why doesn't the Henry Luce Foundation build a center for Christian studies right there? Well, you can see CT hadn't gotten the point at all. You didn't build something like that in the middle of nowhere. You wanted it where scholars were collecting. So I don't know what will happen.
Well.
But anyway, I was awfully proud to have that library there.
Well, it's been really,
But I think it's been kind of a sore thumb to them. I don't think it fitted in
with
their academic plan.
I think it hasn't been utilized as much as CT would like to have it utilized.
And it would have been, you see, if we'd ever set up a religious studies center.
Well, that's a question of getting lines and getting permission to put the money into them.
Oh, that battle over lines.
And it's I'm going to stop right at this point and change the side on this.